Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf Pei Dalet. We're starting on Pei Gimel Omid Days, three lines from the bottom of the Omid. Where the Gemara is quoting from our Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah, Shachai Kelev Shoite, someone who got a bite from a mad dog. We had a machloikis in the Mishnah, what the proper remedy is. According to the Tanakhama, if a person gives that individual from the Chatzar HaKoved, it's worthless. That's a worthless remedy. The Masi ben Choraf disagreed, and he said that it's a great remedy. Machlokes in the Mishnah. Anyway, we're focusing now on the definition, what means a mad dog. Turn around. State in the Braisa. Chamisha dvarim nemra bekelev shoyte. There are five descriptions about a kelev shoyte. Number one, pit pasuach. Its mouth is constantly open. Vriroi noitif, and saliva is dripping out. The oznav tsuruchois. Rashi says, three lines before the end, gedoilois, large ears, ukfulois lamaton, and they're bent over on the bottom. Uznavai munach al yurechoisav. The Bach changes that, not al yurechoisav, but bein yurechoisav. That his tail is constantly between his thighs. Umhalach batzida drachim. And it travels, it walks always on the sides of the road. Those are the five definitions or the five descriptive features of the mad dog. The yishomrim, af noiveach, it barks, the ein koile nishma, but you can't hear anything. What causes a dog to become a kelev shoyte so mad? Rav omar noshim kashfonios mesachkois boy. The women that are kishav machers, that engage in sorcery, machsheifis, mesachkois boy, they are playing with that dog. So the last Rashi says, marois boy kishveim lischoik. They try to show off how they are great in sorcery, lischoik, and therefore they play with this dog and presumably show all their friends, you see, I'm a bigger kishav macher than you, I am a greater sorcerer, so they play with this dog. Ushmul amar ruach ra shoira olav. That there's some ruach ra that shoira on this dog, and as we'll see much from the Gemara, that ruach ra is a result of a shindalid as an evil demon. Evil demon puts some sort of bad spell, and it's full of ruach ra. Pray to my mind, whether it's because of the machshei voice or because of the ruach ra of the shin dalid. When you want to go and kill this dog, whether you should be careful to stand far away and therefore to go and shoot it with a gun or with a bow and arrow, or whether you can go and get close. If it's a ruach ra, says Rashi, don't get close, because chas v'shalom it can get on you. This ruach ra could spread to you, chulila. So therefore, kill it from afar. If it's a question of kishif, then you can get close and you can go and kill it from close by. Dr. Imura. Shmuel was the one that said it's ruach ra. Tanya kavasa to Shmuel, we have a right to Shmuel from a brayse. Kishahorgan oisai. When you kill the dog, ein horgan oisai lebedover han nizrik. Stay away. Go and kill it, says Rashi, with a chait or sakin. Don't get close. If you want, you can go and throw at it a spear, a knife. Go and throw at it an arrow, but don't get close to it because of the ruach ra. And the brayse continues. The chayif bay. If this mad dog rubs against you, mistaken, that's a sakana, chas v'shalom, it's dangerous. Denochisle, if it gives you a bite, mayis chulil v'chas, a person can die from the bite of this dog. And the Gemara explains, the chayyeh bay mistaken, my takanti, what do you do if chulil v'chas, this wild dog, did in fact go and rub against you? What is the remedy? Says the Gemara, nishlach mani, what he should do is, he should take off his clothing, presumably those clothing against which the dog rubbed him, the nirat, throw the clothing down, and mach apleta, run away as far as you can, stay away from that dog. Rav Huna b'Rebbe Yeshua, unfortunately had this incident happen to him, that this mad dog went and rubbed against him in Beshuka. Sholchin lemonei, he had learned our braisa, and what he did was he quickly removed his clothing, he dropped them on the floor, the rot, and he ran for the hills. Omar, he said about himself, because I knew this braisa, kiyamti ba'atmi, I fulfilled about myself what it says in the Pasuk in Kehelis, hechochma techaye be'aleha, that as a result of my chachma, not necessarily bina of understanding, but my chachma, my encyclopedic knowledge that I had learned the daf, I had learned this brisa. As a result, I was machayim myself that I shouldn't come lidei sakana. I knew this halacha of, or this remedy of removing the clothing and running. Now the nochas leimayis. If chas v'shalom the mad dog bites him, chas v'shalom he'll die. So ma'ita kanti, what's the remedy that he shouldn't die? Chulila. Omer Abaye, neisi mashcha the apa. He should go and take the skin of an animal called an apa. Rashi says on the fourth line, hu hatzavua, hu belaz putfish. The English, the art scroll says it's a polecat. Polecat, if you do a Wikipedia or a Google on polecats, you'll see that it's a cousin of the skunk family. But I remember in my youth when we used to learn at this Daf Yoimi and Reb Shulam Friedman, Zichron Livracha, was there, Reb Shulam would say, Apa is like the English word ape. And therefore, Mashka, the Apa really means from a monkey or from an ape, from a gorilla. Regardless, go and take the skin of that animal, the dichra, that's a lashon zohar, a male apa, the nichtavalei, and write on the hot, on the skin of this animal, ano, I, plani bar planisa, ploini ben ploinis, in other words, write his name and his mother's name, amashcha di apa dichra kasivna, aloch, I am writing on this hide, this skin of the male apa. What am I writing? The following incantation. Kanti, kanti, clearus. This is one version of what you write. The amulet, but there's another version. You write, kandi, kandi, clearus. After that, you write the following words. Ka, ka, Hashem, tzvokois, ammein, ammein, sela. After you write that down on this piece of hide, piece of skin, now he should go and remove his clothing. And instead of just leaving it there and running, like we had in the case where the mad dog rubbed against you, what you should do is take that clothing and go and bury it bekivri in a base akvarois at tracer yarchishota for 12 months. Then afkinu, when after 12 months are over, unearth the clothing, v'naklinu b'tanur, and now go and burn it inside an oven, inside a furnace, v'navderinu l'kitmei, and now take the ash of that burned clothing and go and spread it out aproshes drachim on the major thoroughfare, and v'hanach treisi yarchishata. Throughout that 12-month period of time, when his clothing was buried, he should be very careful. Kishosimai, when he drinks water, he shouldn't drink it directly from a cup like we would normally do, just drink it, but rather you should go and use, gufsa means a straw, denachsha means made out of nechoshes, out of copper, but we'll see in a moment, lav davka copper, perhaps even a plastic straw does the trick. The ikr is, says Yimor, dilma chozi bevua deshida v'listakin, because if you, whenever you drink out of a cup or a glass, if you're drinking water, then often your own reflection gets reflected in the water. And here I'm not worried about your reflection, I'm worried about the reflection of the shida, of the shindal. So Rashi says, we are concerned that unfortunately the shin, the evil spirits, the ruach ra, that shoda on the kelev, might jump chulila on this individual who was bitten by the kelev. See the Rashi on the second narrow line. Six lines from the top. Dilma chozi lebavua deshed. Shekofatz min hakelev olav. That maybe that ruach ra went and jumped from the shindalid, from the kelev, onto this individual. And therefore, if he's going to look into the water and he'll see his reflection, then chas v'shalom he'll see a reflection of the shindalid. And that could have listakin, and therefore that could cause a sakana. And therefore, what should a person do? Don't look in the cup. Use rather a straw. As by using a straw, you won't see yourself in the water. And the Gemara tells us, Kihad the Abba Bar Marta, who Abba Bar Minyumi, there was an individual by the name of Abba, who had two names, Bar-Mar to Bar-Minyumi. The Seder HaDoyrois speculates that could be Marta is the mother's name and Minyumi was the father's name. And as you know, we've had the name Marta in terms of a lady, because we have in Mesechtas Gittin Marta Bas Paisus. We had it back here in Mesechtas Yuma as well, that she gave money so that somebody should go and be appointed to be the Nai Kohen Gadol. Anyway, so she was a wealthy individual, and Bar Minyumi apparently was the father. The Avdale Imei get married to being the wealthy lady. What did she do? She made for him a guvsa de dahava, not just a simple copper straw, but a golden straw. So you see from the Gemara that the copper is the lav dafka. The ikar is drink from a straw so that you don't see your reflection in the water, because cholida might be the reflection of the shindalit. On to the next shtickle. Zuy mor vayta vi oyid omer Reb Masya. So now it says in the Mishnah vayta that the Masya said that on Shabbos you're allowed to go and make a special antidote for someone who is choishish begroinoi. Now choishish begroinoi doesn't mean that just a person has a sore throat, because the Gemara considers this to be a potential pikuach nefesh. So what type of sore throat are we talking about? What was the choishish begroinoi? So the Gemara doesn't directly answer that, but it seems that we're talking about tzapidna. Like the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, choshbit tzapidna. He had the problem with tzapidna. What exactly is tzapidna? So once again, Rashi says, is it Rashi yet? Rashi, tzapidna, about 8 lines from the top. Tzapidna choli hashinayim b'hachanichayim. This is a sickness that starts off with the teeth and goes on the gums and the palate. It starts from the mouth, but then it goes and travels all the way down to the intestines, down below. And if it's a sakana, presumably this is some sort of infection that can go and spread all the way from the top and go all the way down. I believe the art scroll says it's scurvy or something similar to that. I'm not sure what scurvy is, but regardless, it's dangerous.
Vitamin deficiency.
Okay. So Rabbi Yochanan choshbet tzapidna. So Rabbi Yochanan had this machla. Oz gabod ayi matrinisa. So he went to visit a matrinisa who was a doctorin. Doctorin means a female doctor. So she made for him a remedy. We'll see in the Gemara in a few lines what that remedy was. And he took it both on Thursday and on Friday. He said to him, what am I going to do on Shabbos? The Rashi doesn't say what the problem was, but this Gemara also appears in Maseches Avodah Zarah, and there Rashi says that he says on Shabbos, I'm going to be far away from you. Now you're going to be in your fancy office on Fifth Avenue, I'm going to be in my shtibel in the shul learning Torah and davening. How am I going to get the remedy on Shabbos? Is my, so what do I do? Amalei, she said, you're not going to need it. Once you had this double dosage, it's like antibiotics. You had it Thursday and Friday, you don't need to take it any longer. 2 days is enough. But what happens if I feel taka pains going from my throat, going all the way down to my intestines? I know I got tzapidna. What do I do? Amalei, so now from here, for the next few lines, it's going to be very difficult to Gemara to understand. We'll do the best we can. Amalei, she said to him, Ishtabli, you have to make a shvua, an oath to me, to Le Megalis, that you're not going to go and reveal the remedy to anyone, because you can't come to my office, I can't come to you, so make a shvua. Ishtaba, he made a shvua, Lelakoh, the Yisrael, Loi Maglina. He made a shvua that to Hashem Yisbarach, he's not going to go Maglina, he's not going to go and reveal it. No Victorian Bepirka. The next day, on Shabbos, or maybe on Sunday, he went and gave a public shiur, and guess what? And he spilled the beans and he revealed this to everyone and anyone that if Chas Hashem he gets a pidna, this is the remedy that I got from this lady doctor. How can he do that? He made a shvua that he's not going to go and reveal it. Says Gemara, Yitaka made a shvua, but lelakod Yisrael maglina, holy amo Yisrael maglina. Meaning, had he made a shvua, belakod Yisrael, I make a shvua in the name of the Almighty God, belakod with the bays, then avada he couldn't be megalit. But he made the shvua, lelakod Yisrael, that I'm not going to go and be Megal, I'm not going to reveal this remedy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can close your ears, Kaviyachol, don't listen. I'm not being Megal to you. La'am Yisrael Maglina, I am going and revealing it to Kai Yisrael. Bring him up. How can he do that? Because after all, says Rashi, what's the chil Hashem involved over here? See Rashi about 12 lines from the top, 15 lines from the top. She thinks clearly that he violated the Shavua that he made to her. And therefore, the chil Hashem shall tell everybody, yeah, this great rabbi made the Shavua and it's a false oath. He said he's not going to reveal it. The Megali Lom Ikara. He went and told her in advance. What does that mean? The next Rashi. Miyahi Shata, right after he made the Shvua, and she told him the remedy, he told already off an art, on that spot. Loi nishbati lecha, ki kach amarti. You should know that this was not a valid oath, because I said, Leleko Yisrael, instead of Beleko to Yisrael, and therefore he told her off an art, and therefore there won't be a future Chil Hashem that she hears that he went and revealed it, because he told her immediately this was not a valid oath. Now, the Gemara, of course, is a little bit difficult to understand. However, the Yafei Naim in the back of the Gemara, Yafei Naim is Rabbi Yellen, who's probably related to our very own brother, Brother Shai Yellen. He says in the back, the Yerushalmi brings the same story. And the Yerushalmi tells us what happened after this. And the Yerushalmi says two versions. Version number one, when she found out that this remedy had been revealed, apparently this was her parnasa. This is the remedy that she had. Perhaps this was the main money maker for her. As soon as she found out that everybody found out about it, they don't need her anymore, she went and she committed suicide. That was the first version. The second version of Yerushalmi is that she went and converted to Judaism. Why did she convert and become a Gioras? Because she said, here, I especially didn't tell anybody about this remedy, so I can make money. And you see what this Jew did? I tell him the remedy, he could have made money. No, he doesn't want to make money. He's totally the Shem Shemayim. He wants that everybody should know what the remedy is for Tzapitna, so that they should never have Chas V'Sholom this malady anymore. So therefore, he revealed it to everyone. She was so impressed that she went and she converted, she became a Giyaris. Anyway, those are the Gemara. Now the Gemara asks, my Abdelay. She gave him the remedy for Thursday and Friday. What did she do? She put together some sort of concoction involving se'or. Se'or, as we know, is sourdough. May means that it was soaked in water. So she took that water in which the sourdough was soaked. She mixed it together with shemzayis, with olive oil, and melech, and with some salt. He drank it, and guess what? Presto, Baruch Hashem, it worked. That's the first version. Rav Yehima Omer Se'or Gufei Shemen Zayis Melech. Not the Meisar, but took actual sourdough itself, mixed it with the Shemen Zayis Melech. He drank it, and he ate it, and Baruch Hashem, he had a refuah. Rav Ashi Omer Mashcha Di Gadfa Di Avza. Avza is a goose, a gantz. Gadfa is a wing. Mashcha means the fat. The fat of the wing of the goose. But Rashi adds a couple of more little details here. So Rashi about third way down. Mashka the God for the Avza. Shuman Moyach Etzim Koton Shibroish Konaf. Roish Konaf for Oif. Konaf again is the wing. There's a small little Etzim Koton, a small little bone, and the Shuman of that bone at the end of the wing of the Oif, which we call Kenail, Shokarin Kenail. So Oisei Al Tzedov, she went and she smeared it. Now Tzedov, Poshepshat, means on the payas, on the temple, on the sideburns. However, the Rishash changes the gears from Tzedov to Shinov. She went and smeared it on his teeth, because after all, Tzepidna starts from the teeth. So since she smeared it on the teeth, guess what? As a result, he had a refor. Amar Abai. So Abai says about himself, I tried out all of these remedies when I had Tzepidna, and none of them worked. Adi Omli Hutai, until an Arab merchant told me the following. I see Kashiyasa Dezesa. What you have to do is bring Kashiyasa. We had Kashiyasa a couple of days ago in the Gemara. Those are pits, Dezesa of the olives. So you take olive pits, Dulemolu Tilsa, of olives that did not have the benefit of fully ripening. They didn't grow even a third. So very, very premature olives. Take those pits. Kulina Benura, go and burn them in a fire, a morecharata, on a brand new hoe. Hoe, H-O-E, that you use for digging. The adbik bekachin, then after that, take the ash from these burned olive pits, put it bekachi dore on the row of teeth in your mouth, and this will be a refuah of the Hochi, and I tried it out, Vitzoy, and Baruch Hashem, I had a refuah from it, says Abai. Where does this come from? How does a person get this tzipin in the first place? Says Yimar, from two things. If he eats very, very hot, warm bread, in other words, bread coming out of the oven, he doesn't wait until it cools off, but he eats it immediately. And what's left over, Rashi says, shiur means it was left overnight, presumably without any refrigeration, without any ice. Kasa de harsana means a kos or a portion of harsana. Harsana is fish hash. You see Rashi in the middle of the omid, kasa de harsana, dogim mitugonim im hakemach b'shemin shalehem. You go and take dogim and you let them stand, or you process them, you fry them, whatever, with kemach, together with some flour, in their own shemen, in their own fat, in their own oil. Shiuri says Rashi, she'obra alav alaya, that it went overnight. So if you have the leftover overnight of this type of fish hash that was cooked and then baked or fried together with the kemach, together with flour, chas v'sholem, this could bring on tzipidna. So tomorrow, umay simne, how can you know whether you got tzipidna or not? When you go and put anything on your teeth, you touch it with your fingers, you touch it with a fork, whatever, the asadama mi beidari, and it automatically starts bleeding from the gums underneath, you know, you got chas v'shalom tzipidna. So Kimura, Rabbi Yochanan ki chosh b'tzipidna, when Rabbi Yochanan had this tzipidna disease that we've been talking about, remember, he took the remedy on Thursday and Friday. On Shabbos, he also had it, and he said, I better take it, because this is an infection, this is dangerous. Oh, but Achi Bishabata. Maybe it's the same Shabbos that he asked her to go and reveal the remedy to her. I don't know, maybe this was a year later. Doesn't say, but the point is, he actually went and administered this on Shabbos. V'itzi and Baruch Hashem, he had a refuah. Break the more Rabbi Yochanan Hechi Avad Hachi. How was Rabbi Yochanan able to do this? So the Gemara assumes at this point that tzipidna is just an irritation in the mouth. And, you know, it's like a cold sore. Nobody enjoys it, but, you know, it's not chas v'shalom dangerous. So he should have waited until Matzah Shabbos or Sunday. Why did he administer this on Shabbos? That's the Rashi that we saw before. Tzipidna is like an infectious disease. It goes and spreads. It starts in the mouth. But from the mouth it goes down the throat. And from the throat it goes down to the b'nei me'ayin, into the intestines. And chas v'shalom, this could be very, very dangerous. Good. Now, Rabbeisai, put just a brief stop over here. Let's look back at the Mishnah, because this will be very important to understand the next Shtikle Gemara. Back in the Mishnah on Pei Gimel Omid Aleph, it means yesterday's Omid Aleph. If it's a regular Gemara, you only have to turn one page. If you have an art school Gemara, about 5 or 10 pages. But it's here, Pei Gimel Omid Aleph, you see in the middle of the Mishnah. Middle of the Mishnah, starting from the second line of the Mishnah. Mishnah is towards the bottom of the Omid. Everybody have it? Second line. First, the Mishnah brings about the Kelev Shoyte that we spoke about before, the mad dog. On the second line, Mishnoshchoy or Nishochoy Kelev Shoyte in Machin Ois Mechotzi Kovet Shaloi. Don't give him from the Chatzar Kovet Shaloi, because Rashi says that is not an effective remedy, and therefore don't be Mechal Shabbos on nonsense. It doesn't work. From Masi Ben Choresh Matir, and Rashi says because Masi Ben Choresh holds that it does work. So there was a machloikis between the Tanakama and Rav Masi ben Choresh about the Kelev Shoyte remedy. But now Rav Masi ben Choresh continues. V'yoyim Rav Masi ben Choresh, ha-choyshish be-groinoi, someone who feels in his throat. Meaning this tzipidna business, matilin loy sam betoich piv v'shabbos. He's allowed to go. The Loshon HaMishnah is, you can go and give him to drink the sam, but the Tiferes Yisrael says, that's a double poshet. Because giving to drink the sam on Shabbos is at maximum an issur d'rabbanan, a gzeira mishum shchika samamonim, he might come to manufacture the remedy. That's not an issue. We're talking about pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh is doiche even a lav d'oraisa of Shabbos, and therefore the Tveris Yisrael in the Mishnayis, that's the Yochanan Boyas on the bottom, says it means to go and manufacture, to go and crush up the ingredients and make that on Shabbos. Says Rav Masi ben Choresh, why are you allowed to do this? When they shoot something nefashos, it's a pikuach nefesh. Because something nefashos doicha es a Shabbos. Now the question is, Rav Masi ben Choresh only spoke about this choshish begroinoi, We don't know what the Tanakhama holds. We know about the remedy for the Kelev Shota. That's a machloikis. So the Tanakhama says, "Hey, Machi the Noisa, forget about it. Don't give it to him." The Masi ben Chorish says it works. And the Masi ben Chorish says this other remedy for Tzapidna also works. And it's Bikuch Nefesh. So the question is, what does the Tanakhama hold in the case of the Tzapidna? Do they also hold, this is Gunish, this is, what do they call it, old wives' remedies or something like that? It doesn't work. Bubba Masis. Or does he agree with the Masi ben Chorish? From the Poshet of Loshen HaMishnah is Mashmat that the only Machlokis is Lagabi, the mad dog remedy, and not about the Tzapidna remedy. That's what the Mashmois is. And that's what the Gemara is going to conclude on the Amid base. But at this point, the Gemara is not absolutely sure. Zokti Mart. Rabbi Yochanan Heichi Ovid Hachi. How is Rabbi Yochanan able to administer this on Shabbos? So Nachmi Yitzchak said, because this is infectious. Tzapidna goes all the way to the name of the eye. Omri Rabbi Chiyah Bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan. Kiman, who do you hold like? L'charikir Masi Ben Chorosh. Di Omer Achosh B'Piv Matin Lo'isam B'Shabbos. Apparently you follow the Masi Ben Chorosh. So okay, no problem. Achosh B'Piv that you're allowed to go and do this Sam. See, are you going in accordance with a Das Yochid against the Tanakam, against the Rabbim? Omri no! Shani Oimer B'Zu V'Loi B'Acheres. I say B'Zu and not the other one. What do you mean? Since it says in the Mishnah, two separate sicknesses, one the mad dog sickness and the other one the tzapidna infection sickness, and I only find the machloikis by one of the two. Where do we find the machloikis? Only by the mad dog. So I say bazoo, there's only a machloikis in that case. That's where the banan hold as a gunish, but not in the other case. This case the tzapidna, everybody agrees that it does work, and therefore you are allowed to administer it on Shabbos. So therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, I'm not taking sides like a Masi ben Chorosh. I agree to everyone that this remedy helps, and it's a pikuach nefesh. We can do it. Yes, Barry, you have a question.
The Mishnah is a poshesh begrono, and you're equating that to tzapidna.
Correct.
Why?
I'm equating that to tzapidna because a normal person that has a regular sore throat, that is not pikuach nefesh. All he has to do is take a hot tea, not to talk too much, put maybe a scarf around his neck, and within a few hours you'll see he feels much, much better. Or he should go and take a hot tea with some honey in it or something like that. The Gemara is assuming that since there's a machloikis, whether you're allowed to go and do this on Shabbos, that in fact, I didn't even know that it's pikuach nefesh. Maybe this is just a gunish. So, well, because the Gemara goes and we start off with Rabbi Yochanan Choshbet Tzapidna, and at this point the Gemara is saying, how could Rabbi Yochanan do that? Our Mishnah said that L'choyre it's a machlaikis between Masi ben Chorosh and the Rabbanan. The Gemara could have answered, no. Our Mishnah to Manchoish v'grainai. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about Tzapidna. Never the twain shall meet. By the fact that the Gemara equates the two, the Gemara apparently is understanding the Mishnah that it's referring to Tzapidna. And the Gemara is also understanding in the Havamina that it's a machlaikis. Just like by the mad dog remedy there was a machlaikis, is a similar machlaikis by the Tzapidna. Says the Gemara, no. Rabbi Yochanan says, I hold that in all cases, I see Brother Shai has a question, that in all cases, everybody agrees that it's a pidna, the only machloikis is by the mad dog, and that's what we're going to have a discussion now. Yes, Brother Shai.
When I first learned it, now that I'm saying it is a pidna, so that's, it's clear that that's what was meant, but strep throat is going to be a very serious illness as well. We know that the causes them to rheumatic fever and heart murmurs and all sorts of things.
And maybe that's the definition of tzapidna. We only have the benefit of the Rashi that says that it spreads. Does strep throat also, is it infectious and it could spread to the rest of the body? Yeah. Maybe that's another definition. Anyway, so enochanami lav dafka tzapidna, you can put in strep throat. Anything which is dangerous.
Strep throat doesn't have bloody, typically have bloody teeth.
It's a cousin of the strep throat. Anyway, it's something which is very dangerous. So getting back to our Gemara, so we have a Shaila, do the Rabbanan argue with Ramasi ben Chorosh or not? Legabe remedying this tzapidna on Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan says, no machloikis, everybody agrees. Because he says, bezu, V'loy b'acheres. They only argued on the mad dog remedy. They didn't argue about the tzepidna remedy. So the Malim Masai, let's try to bring a right. We have a brisa, and the brisa adds yet another illness, another sickness. Misha achsa yirokai. A person yirokai means that he is, Rashi says, is yellow in his face, which usually means it's a sign of jaundice, chas v'shalom. So a person has jaundice, machin oisid basa chamor. You're allowed to go and feed him basa from a donkey, even though, of course, that's treif. It's not really treif, it's a basa behemoth and tmeya. But nevertheless, the person is mesukon chas v'shalom, he has a sakana, you're allowed to go and give him macholois asurais. Oh, that was what we had in our Mishnah. Remember, there was a beferish and machloikis where the Tanakhama said, that's buba masis, that's gunish. And the Masi ben Chori said, no, this is the real McCoy, this really works. A person who has either the tzapidna, or according to Brother Shai, he has the strep throat, or something similar, then you also administer, not only administer, you're allowed to go and crush and create this remedy on Shabbos. Dibri Ramasi ben Chorish. So Ramasi ben Chorish says, all three of these, you're allowed. The Elu ain behem mishum refua. The Elu like Be'elu. In fact, the Gemara after says Be'elu. These is gunished. Ain behem mishum refua. So to more the Mudim, what do you mean by Be'elu? My love, the Muti Sam. Perhaps what he meant to say is we have three listed in this brisa: the jaundice, the mad dog, and the tzpidna. And about these three, apparently the Chum is saying the first two are gunish. By Yerok, a person has joined this, don't even think of giving him donkey meat. It's not going to work. Forget about it. Take something else. Kelev Shoita, don't give him chatzar kovit shaloi. Doesn't work. Give him something else. So that's what he said. The Eilu, ain behem remishua. But the third one he holds, yesh b'mishim refua. And if that's the case, then we have a right to Rabbi Yochanan that in fact when it comes to the tzapidna case, the chosh b'fiv, that everybody agrees that you're allowed to administer this sam b'shabbos, this formula. My lav l'muti sam, that is permissible according to everyone. L'mute, a fourth case which is not even brought in this price. What's the fourth case? Makizan dam l'srunchi. Person who has the terrible srunchi ailment or illness, and the article says about that's something called quinsy. Q-U-I-N-S-Y. Don't know what quinsy is, but it's obviously some sort of terrible thing. So makizan dam, you're allowed to go and make his dam. You're allowed to go and let out blood on Shabbos for someone who has this srunchi, and this is the good refuah. And it's about that the Chum said, "Night, that is the good one that I mask him to." The first three in the previous brisa, none of them have any medical benefit. What does have medical benefit is a person who has srunchi, he should be makizdam. And according to that version, then the Chacham Taki argue with Ramasi ben Chorosh, even the Gavi the Tzepidna. And I'll bring you a right that that's the real pshat, that the Chacham Taki argue with Ramasi ben Chorosh, and they say, don't go and give these medicines for Tzepidna. How do I know? The sign is in the Braisa. Shloishin Tvorim Amr Bishmo Rabbi Yoisi. Shishoma Mishim Ramasi ben Chorosh. Oh, again Ramasi ben Chorosh. What are the three? Makizan Damas Runchi Bishabis. That's what we just spoke about, letting out blood for this Srunchi business. Umishin Shochai Kelev Shoita Machim Oisva Kovach Chotzer Kovach Shaloi. And Bachoish Befim Maftin Loi Sam Bishabis. Like we had in the Mishnah. The Chumam Oimin the Chumam said, the Eilu Ein Behem Mishim Refuah. By these, Segunish Medgunish, there's no Refuah. And again, the Eilu Mutimai. What does the Eilu come to exclude? My love Atarti Basraisa. Vlam Ute Dereisha. Maybe they're saying that the last two have absolutely no benefit. What are the last two? Both the Chotzer Kaved by the Kelev Shoita, like we had in the Mishnah. And they also argue and they say, Tzepidna, forget about it. These remedies don't work. Don't do them on Shabbos. The Mutz Duration, it's the Ration that they hold. Yeah, that does work. That Makis Dam Lesrunchi, that works. Which would be consistent with the previous Brisa. So I'm bringing a Raya that Ramasi ben Chorosh and the Chachamim argue, even in the case of the Tzepidna case, and where they agree that it's a good refuah, is in the Srunchi case, about being able to let out blood. It's more like you have no right because I tired to the ratio come. I said lemutin the sefer. It could be that the chachamim hold that the first two are no good. The makizam esrunchi is no good, and the kelev shoyt is no good with the chatzikaved. But the third one efshe does work. So bottom line is we don't know yet what the chachamim hold in the case of the choishish b'fiv by the tzipidna. Does it work? Doesn't it work? Toshema the tani rav bar shmul ubra sheiricha. Oh, we had this yesterday in the Gemara. You had an ubra, or you had this on Friday. You had the ubra, the fetus inside the ishim uberes that gives us a shmek and says, "I am hungry." And they tried like Rebbe did and Elchishula, and they whispered in the ear. And Sanishka Holfen, like the case of Rab Chanina, and afterwards came out Shapsoi, Otzer Peri, like we had. Anyway, Ubra Sheiricha, Machin Lo'isa Shetosha Nasha, you go and feed the mommy until the baby stops agitating and says, "Okay, Kenuk, I don't need any more." Umir Shashachi Kelev, Shoita, Chatshom Kelev, Shoita, Machin Lo'isa Chatzer Kovit Shalai. That's the machloikis in the Mishnah between the Chachamim and Amasya ben Choresh. The person has this tzipidna, you go and administer and you let it crush and manufacture the sam b'shabbos divrei Reb Lozer Reb Yosi Shomar Mishom Reb Masi ben Choresh. Oh, again Reb Masi ben Choresh, who's the author of these various remedies, and he supports them and he says, yeah, they all work. Yeah, this one, yeah, but not the other one. So what does that mean? Bezu ahai. Which one is he saying? Yes, this one, yes, but not the other. Ilei ma ubra, is he going on the first case? The ubra shehei richa, tijim machal ad shetoshem nasha. So kimar pshita, ubra mi ikalam an yomer deloy. After all, that mishnah of ubra we had already back on Friday, 2 days ago, and there was no machloikis. Everybody agreed that ishim uberes, that says on Yom Kippur, I have to eat because my baby is agitating. Okay. So Rebbe and Rebbe Chanina had an idea, whisper in the ear. If that helps, good. But if it doesn't help, you gotta feed it. It's pikuach nefesh. Nobody disagrees with that. So you don't need the chum go and say, yeah, bezu ani moida, I agree to the case of the uber shericha. Everybody agrees. It's chadava pashit. We have two remaining cases. One case is the Kelev Shoita case, and the other case is the Tzapidna case. And since we know in the Kelev Shoita case, the Chacham say, don't administer it, don't do it, it doesn't work. And they say over here, Bizu v'loy bacheres, in one of these two I agree, but not the other one. So which is the one that they're agreeing to? It must be the third case, the case of the choshish b'fev, that's been the case. So bottom line is Shema Mino, we have a clear raya from this braisa, like Rabbi Yochanan, that there is no machloikis between Rabbi Masi ben Choresh and Rabbanan in the case of the choshish b'fev. The machloikis is only in the Kelev Shota case. Ravashi on Masis Nami Deka. So Ravashi, from our Mishnah, it's crystal clear. Because the Mishnah says, the Oidam Ram Yosef Ben Chorosh, Hachoshish Befeh, Matin Lo Yisam Beshabu. Excuse me. Hachoshish Befeh, Matin Lo Yisam Beshabu. Lo Yplig Rabban Alei. We only find the machloikis in the Mishnah of the Gabi, the mad dog. We don't find the case in the Mishnah of the Gabi, the case of the Tzipin, the case. The Mishnah, the Pliga Rabban Alein, if you're going to go and tell me, even though the Rabban are silent, but they argue on that one too. Let's put the two cases together. Remember, in our Mishnah, the structure of the Mishnah is, we started off that the Tana Kamna says that by the Kelev Shoita, don't give it. This Chatzer Kovit business, it doesn't work. It's ridiculous. It's treifus. It's nevelus. Don't bother. Masi ben Choresh Mati said, no, it's a good remedy. The Oidom Reb Masi ben Choresh, Choshish Begroinoi. If the Rabbanan are arguing, the Rabbanan shouldn't have started off the Mishnah as the Tana Kamma. They should have been the Tana Basra. They should let Masi ben Choresh go first. Masi ben Choresh will say, Kelev Shoita, administer the Chatzer Kovit. Choshish Begroinoi, give him the sum. Then Chum would say, Both of these refuahs are bubamaisis, forget about it. That's why it's mashu from the Mishnah. The machlokes is only on the first case and not in the other case. Shema mina. So bottom line is, when Rabbi Yochanan administered the remedy on Shabbos, he did the right thing because he was following not only Das Yochid of Ramasim and Chorich, but everybody agrees that this is a sakana and it's bikuach nefesh. Sorry?
Who's the pekuach nefesh? Uber or the mother?
Rashi in the Mishnah said it was both of them. Go back to the Rashi on Daf Pei Gimel. Pei actually. It was agitating down below. You see Pei Beis in the Mishnah? You have Rashi, do you have the Mishnah? Ubra Sheiricha? Pei Beis. I'm sorry. Pei Beis. Amud Aleph. Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Mishnah on the bottom. You see Ubra Sheiricha Machil Noisa Achutoshim Nafsha. Look at the Rashi down below. Uber shiricha, uber meiriach reich tavshu, vumis avoloi, vim eino oichele shneyan misukonim. Both the mommy and the baby are misukonim.
Everybody wants to know your secret.
So
it's just that the baby's agitated.
And the baby says, I need to eat, then you feed the baby. Feed the mommy, because you can't feed the baby directly, feed the mommy.
Yeah. He's in dumb, you know, we don't have an answer.
We don't have an answer whether or not the Chacham agree or disagree with it. No, the Gemara, it wasn't a practical question. There was Rabbi Yochanan did it, and we said, he passed like a Masvin Harish. But you're right, the Gemara doesn't come out one way or the other whether they agree or disagree in this Shulchan case. Okay, so now, again, looking at the Mishnah just for a moment, notice Reb Masi ben Choresh said about the Sam B'Toich Piv B'Shabbos, Neshu Sofik Nefoshes, it's a real big Sofik, it's a Pekuach Nefesh, Chol Sofik Nefoshes, Doiche Esa Shabbos. But the question is, why was it necessary for for Ramasi ben Choresh and the Mishnah to add these words? Wouldn't it have been enough to go and say it's a suffering the Farshis? Why do you have to say the Chotam the Shabbos? We all know this rule. After all, V'chai behem v'loi shiyomus behem. There are only three Averis in the Torah where Pikuch Nefesh doesn't count. That's the Averis Zor Gileroyis Shvichasam. But otherwise, Pikuch Nefesh is Doche everything. V'etimar Lamali Sulam Meimav Chol Suffering the Farshis Doche Shabbos. Om Reb Yina Marav. What's up there? The Mishnah is trying to stress that even though this antidote or this sickness will cause a person to violate Shabbos two Shabbos in a row, do it. It's sakonas nefashis. For tomorrow, hey, what do you mean? What's the case? Ah, person was very, very sick. The doctor came in on a house call on Shabbos in the afternoon, 2 o'clock, and he said, Raboisai, this is very dangerous. You have to go and take now antibiotics for 8 days, starting from today, including next Shabbos. And the chola says, doctor, Shabbos is going to be over in a few hours. Can you do me a favor? We'll start taking the antibiotic tonight instead of taking it now. So this way I don't have to violate any Hilchos Refuah on Shabbos. We'll start from tonight, and therefore we'll only have to violate next Shabbos, but not today as well. Dr. Yomar, no, don't do that. You're going to do it with Tamani Yomi. The Yom Kama Shabbat, the first day is Shabbos, and the eighth day will be next Shabbos. Now the same with the Akiv Adi Orta. Let's wait until administering this medicine on Matzah Shabbos. Kecholei Nechol Alei Trei Shabbat. She shouldn't have to be Mechalo. Two Shabbosim. Kamash Vula, no. If the doctors say it's dangerous for Koch Nefesh, you start immediately. You don't wait. Of course, if the doctor says it's Taka, not Nishke Ferloch, you could start tonight. That's a different story. But if the doctor says it's Mesukin, you should start immediately. Don't play games. You start immediately, even though you mechal two Shabbos. Tanam Yehoki Takarai from the Brisa, mecham and chamal lechoyle b'Shabbos. You can go and heat up hot water for choyle on Shabbos. Bein lashkoyse both to give him to drink. Bein lavroyse also to give him to bathe. For loy Shabbos ubal varom. But not only this Shabbos, el the Shabbos acheres, even for two Shabbos. Bein oimim we don't say namtin loy shemiyavi. You don't say let's wait until tonight. Let's see what happens. We'll see what happens then. El mecham loy miyad. Neishu sof nefarshu toichu the Shabbos. Even if it involves two Shabbos, Once we say that Shabbos is hutra legabe the din of a choyle chas v'sholem, you don't have to go and cut corners and let's try to find a goy, a Shabbos goy. You don't have to go and find a kusi. Even Gedoyli Yisrael shouldn't go and do it. And the top toisis is very instructive. Toisis. Even if there's a goy right next to you and say, let's use the goy, why should a yid go be mechal Shabbos? Mitzvah be Yisrael. Shemiyisatel hanochri v'lo yase v'yovli dey sakana. Maybe the nochri will be misatel, he'll be lazy and he won't do it, he won't do it in a timely fashion. The yid, a gedoyli Yisrael, means he realizes pikuch nefesh, it's toich Shabbos, he'll do it immediately, don't wait even for a second. By the way, that was one of the considerations when they started Hatzolah and they talked about Hatzolah being Mechal Shabbos. They said, well, maybe we should have that the person driving the ambulance, let's always go and take a goy, so we shouldn't be Mechal Shabbos. And one of the considerations was that taking a goy, unfortunately, you have to worry about this. So it's a Shemi Yisatzel. The Yidin will be Zrizen Hay. By the way, not to say anything bad, negative about the general EMS, because they have lots more calls than the Hatzolah, but in general, the Hatzolah's rate of response is typically, depending on the neighborhood, but it's usually on average, 2.5 to 3 minutes after the call goes out, while the average on the regular city EMS is usually closer to 12 or 13 minutes.
This time, Golden.
Yes.
Goldie.
Yes.
The answer is Dovin Cohn.
Yeah.
The Shabbos. Shabbos. Whatever you do during the week.
Oh. So, yeah.
Whatever you do.
Our good friend Mr. Weinrib is telling us that Yosef Chaim Golding, who many of you recall from the West Side, older brother of Ding, who still lives on the West Side, who was one of the founding members of the Hatzolah on the West Side, he said he spoke to Reb David Cohen, and Reb David Cohen, Sulzan Gizut Nishtarik, told him, whatever you do on Tuesday, do on Shabbos. Don't ask any questions. What does this mean? That so although there are other pshatim, but the pashat pshat in the Gemara is that we were talking about bayom mehaim, that women and kusim, well, kusim are unreliable because they are not considered to be erlechim, either the ger erayis, or in later years they became goyim and gansim, so you can't rely on them. But you cannot rely on women either. Apparently, the women were not as exposed to the outside as they are today, so they didn't have full education, and therefore if they go and tell you, yeah, this is a sickness and this is not a sickness and this is a remedy, this is not a remedy, you couldn't rely on them. Of course, things have changed. You have so many women doctors. In fact, even on the Amud Aleph, remember, we had that lady doctor who was a doctor for Rabbi Yochanan. But Al-Pirov, in those days, the women, because of their lack of exposure to culture and to education, all the rest, you cannot go and trust the dear say-so about these in Yanim. However, if you have a machloikis between two doctors, one doctor is Okyo and the other doctor is Okmain, then you can go and have the woman be mitzarev to one of the two tzedakim. But can't rely on her alone because of her lack of knowledge on these matters. Tonerbat, mefakrin bikuach nefesh b'shabbos. Again, when it comes to bikuach nefesh, you run, you do, vazor is harizim meshubach, and a person who runs to go and help out someone else, mimatzel and nefesh, he's meshubach, he deserves praise, he's praiseworthy. And you don't even have to ask the Rav, you don't have to go to Bezin to ask any questions, you have a slight shayla sakana safashis, do it, go ahead. And now the Bryce is going to give us three or four different examples, and the Gemara is going to tell us each time why is it necessary for the Bryce to add each time the Tzorach Lito Rishus Mibes. So you'll see. Hoketzer. Give us examples. Roa Tidik Shadofaliyam. Chas v'shalom, a child falls into the swimming pool, or Yam, into the river, into the ocean. Hoirish. What you can do immediately is spread out a net to go and get the child out, get out the infant, to be able to save it. And a person who does that quickly, he gets all the blessings. He's praiseworthy. He doesn't have to go to Rishus Mibezin. Now what's the shayla over here? You have to ask Rishus Mibezin. You see, Pikuach Nefesh, what's the shayla? Says the Avagav the Kotzayim Kavri. Even though that net is not going to only bring up the child, it's also going to bring up many, many fish. And this person may be a fisherman, and therefore he's going to be over lechoyer the halacha of tzad b'shabis. No, don't worry about the tzad. Go and save the child. Similarly, roa tinik shenof in the bar. A child fell nebuch into a bar, and you have to get the child out. And the only way he was able to do it was oikir chulia. He was able to go and remove an upper layer of the bar. For instance, the bar was, let's say, 10 tvachim deep. So he was able to go and unearth, to dig up the top chulia. And now it's only 9. And with that, he was able to go down into the bar and bring the child up. No problem. Even though that's lechoyra a tolda of boine, but here it's pikuach nefesh. Vazar is a mishubach. Then tarchli torishus mi bezin. Why do we repeat this about bezin? Because ava gavna masakin darga. This owner of the bar, it could be that already for a long time he's been desiring to go and take up to remove and unearth that top chulia and make a step out of it so that it will be easier to retrieve items in the bottom of the bar or to store things in the bar or to go and have this bar filled with water and to draw the water out. So he has a tremendous toiva from it. I don't care what you have a toiva. You're saving a nefesh me. So yes, Barry.
In the case of the fish, it's a similar question. So a child falls into the river, the net catches the child and brings up some fish. What's the sense of those fish? I mean, they're muksa, obviously, but I mean, the person, the fish, he caught the fish. He has them in the net. After Shabbos, can he have enough from them?
I believe the answer is yes. I believe the answer is yes. There is a discussion among the Mefarshim when he picks up the fish. When he gets the fish, is he allowed to, at the same moment that he gets the infant, all to be mischaven to catch the fish? They happen to be in the vicinity of the infant, so he takes the net in such a way that he catches everything. So some of Farshim say that's permissible. The important thing is he gets the child out. Others say no. He has to try to restrain himself and only take the infant. Obviously, if it's a situation that if he's going to play around, there's going to be a sakana that this child may drown. Don't play, you know, shnau. So there's a machlokes whether he's allowed to be mechaven to go and fish the fish at the same time that he's fishing out the infant. But regarding whether you're allowed to eat it afterwards, if he didn't have any kavanah to get the fish, and this was because ba'ones, it came up together with the infant, there would not be a problem. Now, you're right, on Shabbos it would probably presumably be a noilid or a mukta situation, but he could cook it on Matzah Shabbos. Probably have to wait until Veshiyasa. You have to wait for Veshiyasa. Veshiyasa, as long as it takes only to catch these fish and then prepare. What's up? You have to wait for Veshiyasa. How long it would normally take to catch the fish? It would take a half an hour. 5 minutes, whatever it is, you'd have to wait. Right, the next case.
Rabbi Harry Cohen is not around. Rabbi Harry Cohen is not around. He typically would ask this question.
I'm sure. Zichrono Lebracha. Rosh and his Delis with Tinnik. What happens if there was a door that was locked in front of a Tinnik? In other words, a Tinnik is stuck in a room, can't get out. Shoivra, you're allowed to go and break down the door and get him out, because otherwise his child will go, Chas v'Shalom, he'll really get so upset, emotional distress. So you're allowed to go and take the child out. What's this? Even though he is happy about going and breaking down the door, because the door is an old door and he'd like to use it for toothpicks, for firewood, for planks, for making a sukkah, whatever, he's having a toiva from the fact that he's breaking down the door. It's okay, since you want to go and help the child, that's fine. You're allowed to be mechabe, you're allowed to extinguish a fire, and you're allowed to be mafsik b'fnei adleika. Mafsik b'fnei adleika, Rashi explains, like we have in the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos, that if you see that there's a fire approaching, if it's not an immediate, urgent sakana, but eventually it might come into your house, or it might come into the other room, or whatever, you're allowed to go and set up a whole bunch of kalim full of water, so that if and when the fire spreads and hits those kalim will burst and the water will come out and will extinguish the flames. allowed to do that all in Shabbos. What means mamchich makuchi? You have over here a fire. You're allowed to extinguish the fire. One way to extinguish the fire would be to try to flatten out the coals. You go and take ichvais, a shovel, whatever, and you bang it on the coals to stop the embers, to start to stop the flames, and that's the way you do it. And he wants that he has these flattened coals, because now, Matzah Shabbos, he intends making a barbecue, the Kovid Mlav Malka, together with his family, and so therefore he has a toivah sano, he has a benefit from it. Makes no difference. Since his main intention over here is to save nefashis, by the way, you can only do this if you're saving people, not to go and save money. If the house is empty and the whole house will be destroyed because of the fire, if there's not a soul nearby, let the house burn down. If Chas V'Shalom might spread to another house, that's a different story. But in terms of, if there's no Pikuch Nefesh involved, you're not allowed to extinguish it on Shabbos. Zokti Mar, so now we had four different cases over here. The case of the Tinnik that fell into the Yam, the Tinnik that fell into the bar, the Tinnik that was behind closed doors, and finally the case of the fire. Why does the Bryce have to give us another example? Can we figure that on our own? You know why you don't have to go to Bezin to ask them, can I go and chop my infant even though at the same time you're going to go chop the fish? You know why you don't have to ask? By the time he gets to the Bezin Shtibel and comes back again, the child's going to drown. After all, the kid's not going anywhere. Of course, he's frightened and he's upset and he's nervous, no question. But he's not going anywhere. So maybe I should still go to the roof and come back again. You don't have to ask. After all, the child is never terrified. He's terrorized. Yeah, who knows what's going to happen? Bugs and scorpions and snakes. You know, Yosef Atzadik's bar was a Choshev Akrab Yesh boy. So the child who learned that Chumash, learned the Rashi, is nervous. Maybe my bar is also going to have Choshev Akrab. The only problem is that he's concerned that he's behind the closed door. So maybe if I can go and entertain him from behind the closed door by taking a goyzim, by banging one against the other, and having him guess, what am I banging, what am I doing? In other words, keep him entertained, keep his mind off of worrying about his being behind closed doors. So maybe I should go and ask the roof, I should ask the bezin. Tzricha, in all these cases, you don't have to ask. Hazoris harizem mishumach. What about the fourth case? So the two dots over here are really out of place. Mechabin mafsikin lomli. What do we need that case? That comes to tell you the case of that even though in your chotzer at the moment there is no issue, but there's a potential that it's going to spread from chotzer A to chotzer B, comes to tell you that's also enough of a bikuch nefesh that you have to go, don't ask any questions, shnel, either go and be mechabe, extinguish it, or put these rows of kalim. Toises, the second Toises says, I don't need know why the Braisa has to give both examples. Mechaben u'mafsikin. Once I said that I'm allowed to extinguish the fire itself by taking water and extinguishing it, or taking the shovel and banging it. What do I have to talk about mafsikin, that you put up all these kalim full of water and they're going to burst from the flames and that's going to be a groma? Just simply say mechaben. Anyway, that's the second Toises from the top. If you look at the top, the second Toises, tamely, to have a zuvain terachoimazu. If you say you're allowed to extinguish the flames, koshkin lahafzik, what do you have to talk about putting up the kalim? So Toys is talking about even a case where there'll be other isurim involved. For instance, hoitzo on Shabbos, he's have to bring kalim from another, from Rishus Rabbim, etc. I and Shum for homework, the rest of the Toys. Getting back to our Gemara, Gemara tells us now that din pikuach nefesh is not only vaday pikuach nefesh, but even safek pikuach nefesh. What do you mean safek pikuach nefesh? Zotimar amr v'yosam amr v'yuda amr shmur lehoch pikuach nefesh achar haroiv. When it comes to pikuach nefesh, you don't go after majority. What do you mean you don't go after majority? So Rashi explains, as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, that if you have Jews and Gentiles mixed together, you don't have to start asking how many Jews, how many Gentiles. If you know that there's at least one Jew in the mix, that's already enough for Safek Pikuach Nefesh, and you have to go and be matzel on Shabbos. Give me practical examples. How many people? What's the case? If you have 10 people altogether, 9 of them are Jews, 1 of them is a Kusi. And what is the concern that we have over here? Nebuch, reminiscent from we had now in Surfside. If you have Nebuch in Miami, what's going on? That you're in Nofla Mapoilis, a building collapsed. Nebuch fell on one of them, and I don't know whether the victim was a Jew or whether he was a Goy. That's my shaila. So says the Gemara, what do you mean lehok b'kuch nefesh achar roif? Ruby Yisrael minu, avad you have to go and unearth this building collapse, because since 90% of your universe over here, we had 9 Jews and 1 Kusi, and then the building collapsed and everybody ran and one person is trapped and I don't know, is it a Jew, is it a Kusi? Then of course you have to go and save it, because 90% chance that it's a Jew. So what do you mean ein holchan achar roif? Inami, or maybe the next case is palgu palga. We started off with 10. 5 Jews, 5 Gentiles. There was a building collapse. 9 people ran. Gemachta pleita. One person's underneath the rubble. I don't know who it is. So, suffering nefashis, you have to go and save him. So, again, you don't have to say, leholcha bibruch nefesh acharoi. Suffering nefashis lahokil. If I have a slight shayla, it's 50-50. Avad, I have to go and save this person. Elad ikatisha kusavi Yisrael echan. Oh, it's 90%. 9 out of 10. Although the Gemara uses the term kusim, typically it really means nochrim or goyim, and this is just the sender has changed it to make it kusim. Or it's talking about the acher after the kusim became, that we saw that they were oivdei avodah zarah, and therefore they become goyim l'chol divrei. So we have 9 Gentiles and 1 Yid, and there's a building collapse, 9 people run away. I would say to myself, 90% chance that this was a goy, so maybe I shouldn't be machal Shabbos. Honami pshita. Tavalei kavua v'chol kavua kemachsal machsadami. If you have 10 people standing there together, and then you have the building collapse, that's a kavua situation. We know the rule is kol kavua kemachsal machsadami. We learned that from the Teisha Chanoyah's case. So therefore, it's as if it's 50-50. Again, what's the chiddush of Shmuel? Leihoch v'koch nefesh achar roiv? Of course, 50-50. Avad, you have to be mechal shabbos. Loi tzaricha de parish l'chatz acheres. That all of the 10 moved, 9 goyim, 1 Jew, moved from chatzar A to chatzar B. Now it's no longer kavua. Now it's parish. Ma'ar is called the parish meruba parish, and therefore, in all likelihood, 90% chance that the person who's under the building collapse is probably a goy, and therefore I should not be mechal shabbos. By the way, this doesn't apply today because of the inyan of Eva. Eva means that we don't want Chas v'Shalom, that the Goyim say, oh, if it's a non-Jew, the Jews don't care. So therefore, if it's a Jew, then we non-Jews won't care. That's also the reason why Hatzolah is allowed to go and even help out Goyim on Shabbos, because of the possibility if we wouldn't help out a Goy, then they would close down Hatzolah in 1 second, and we wouldn't be able to help out the Jews. It would be a tremendous Chil Hashem, a tremendous Heva. In fact, there's a famous story that Heva Chassam Soif in the Tshuva, where there was a fire that broke out in Prishborg or wherever, and that was the same issue where Nebuchadnezzar was a tremendous Sakana, but the fire was in a Goyish neighborhood, and it was destroying all the Goyish houses, and they allowed the Jewish firefighters to also help out their Goyish neighbors, because they said, if we're not going to help them, then next time it's going to happen to us, and they won't help us, and therefore Mishum Eva. So this doesn't apply. But we're talking about putting aside Eva concerns. What's the halacha now? So I would have thought, Marasim called the Barish Meruah Barish, and therefore it's all likely that the person that is the victim of the building collapse is probably the Goy. We don't go after Roy, but in fact, we assume that this is a good chance it's a Jew, and you do have to go and unearth on Shabbos. If they're in the first chotzer, ya avada, bikuch nefesh, it's called kavur kemechta mechta dami, this bikuch nefesh. The chotzer cheres, if it goes into the second chotzer, ain mefachin. Is the shver, didn't you go and say, according to Shmuel, that mefachin, even bechotzer cheres? Don't you mind the parish? Kulu the parish makes a sayin. If all 10 people went from chotzer A to chotzer B, that's when Shmuel said, ain holchim bikuch nefesh achar arrived. even though the chance that this is a Jew is only 10%, you gotta go and save that individual. However, if only some of the 10 went from Chatzar A to Chatzar B, so then there's a good chance that there was no Jew in the first place. Because we started off with 9 Goyim, 1 Jew. Of the 10, 3, 4, 5 went into the other Chatzar. There's a good likelihood that there's no Jew at all involved. In such a case, says Rabbi Yochanan, then we're not going to be mafakhin because of the fact that it's a, like a sveksveka. Number one, if all 10 went in, the one that the building collapsed, 90% was probably a goy. But it's sveksveka because maybe the Jew wasn't even in that chotzer at all. Maybe he decided to stay away from that chotzer. He sensed that there's going to be a collapse. And so therefore, sveksveka, you don't go and aim mafakhin on Shavuos. Nechum tomorrow will continue from Umi Yom Shmuel Hachi at 8:15 in Yetzer Hashem. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Sain.
Do we reflect this whole reputation in Lois? Or could it be?
Happy Purim.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Please. You said talking, don't worry.
Okay, we did too.
Probably, you said 8:15 tomorrow?
8:15 tomorrow because of the Chogah. We'll probably finish davening late at 400.